This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
The Clinic. Free advice right here.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
We are talking skin this afternoon as we're joined by Dr. Natalia. It's all about, well, prevention and treatment. And also busting a few myths. Google a skincare concern and you're bound to come across a horde of conflicting information. And unfortunately, a lack of straightforward, clear and, importantly, truthful advice means there's an endless amount of skincare myths floating around. To clear that up, Dr. Natalia joined us, consultant dermatologist at Zia Medical Centre there on Beach Road. She is here to answer your questions and concerns, so get them in, 4001 on the SMS, or you can use that Dubai Eye Messenger app. Hello, Dr. Natalia.
Hello.
You're glowing, as I would hope.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's nice to have you in the studio. Can I get a bit of background on you? Much like when I meet dentists, I'm like, why? Why the dentistry? Why did you want to look in people's mouths?
Yeah, why?
And to you, I would say, why the skin? What kind of fascinated you about it when you started training?
You know what? The truth is that it's because so many people don't know anything about skin. So I came across a lot of doctors who just were so confused with skin, because when we were on ward rounds as a junior doctor, we'd see skin disease on the ward and it was like, oh, it's a rash. What is this? And I just thought, oh, that's really interesting. No one really knows what these are. So I just thought, okay, well, if a lot of people don't know about this, this is something I should know about. And it's fun to know stuff that other people don't know. I know that sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't at all.
Yeah. So it's like, well, there's obviously a need. And it's kind of a complicated, it's actually quite a complicated specialty. Because
imagine.
Most people look at rashes and they all see the same thing. So I had to, we're trained to be able to look at rashes and or anything like a lesion or a rash and be able to find the little bits and pieces that differentiate it from anything else so we can make a diagnosis. Because most of the diagnoses in dermatology are based on what you see. So we don't do loads of tests and stuff, which is great too, because you can pretty much look at something
straight
and say,
away.
It's this. Yeah, you walk in the door, someone walks in the door and I can see them like, oh yeah, that's what it is. And, you know, it sounds like I'm, you know, that's a bit arrogant to say, but it's just how you're trained to do things.
It's a learned, it's a practice.
It's a practice, it's a skill. And so you gain that skill over time. So I'm the kind of person who's in a supermarket and looks at someone's head and it's like, oh.
But do you then approach them and say, I think you might find you've got a bit of atopic dermatitis there.
Sometimes.
Have you?
It depends on my mood and like if I'm wearing, you know, the right clothes and stuff. Because otherwise, if I'm looking like a bit of a, you know, a Sunday slob.
Yeah, you're off duty.
Yeah, off duty look. That's probably not the best time to
And they're
say,
also
going
to go, this weird woman came up to me in spinnies and said that I should really go and see her dermatologist.
That's usually not a good look. So yeah.
Well, it's interesting. And we can take photos this afternoon on the Dubai Eye app as well. So if anyone wants to send a pic in, you can do that.
Yeah.
I just got a phone call from nursery earlier saying, hi, we think your daughter's got ringworm. And I was like, I don't think she does.
Probably not.
So I might show you a photo of Tabitha's tummy later if that's all right.
No problem.
What are the most common skin issues that you're treating here at Zia? What are the big complaints that people are coming in with?
So the two main ones are acne and eczema. So those are the big two all over the world, really. So acne affects 99% of the population, and eczema or dermatitis, inflamed, red, itchy, dry skin, that's really common as well. So those are probably my two biggest inflammatory skin diseases. So because dermatology is split into two categories, really. It's rashes and lesions, so like moles and bumps and lumps. So in terms of rashes, the most common ones are acne and eczema.
Lots of questions coming in for you. We're going to get through as many as we can as possible. And we're also going to be busting a few myths. Should we kick off with a couple?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, are you ready? Sunbathing is bad for you.
True. No, is this a true false quiz?
You can answer however you want.
True sunbathing is bad for you. Anytime you're exposing yourself to the sun is a carcinogen. It causes DNA damage, and that puts you at risk of skin cancer mainly, but also photoaging. So if you want to keep your skin looking healthy and young throughout your life, if you want to keep your skin looking like a baby's skin or like an infant's skin, they don't have any sun exposure. So the best way to do that is to stay out of the sun.
People who tan easily and rarely burn will not get skin cancer.
False.
Dark skinned men and women are not at risk for sun damage and skin cancer.
False. Bob Marley died of a melanoma at the age of 36. He had an acromelanoma on his toe. So he's obviously, he's Bob Marley, skin type 6, dark skin. So, you know, you can still get melanoma if you're dark skin.
You don't need to wear sunscreen on a cloudy day.
False. UV light still penetrates cloud.
A tanning bed is safer than UV rays from the sun.
So not true. So the tanning beds are concentrated UV light. So that is, we all believe and agree that that is one of the highest risks of skin cancer in the modern world, using a sunbed.
The higher the SPF of your sunscreen, the better.
Up to 50. Up to 30. True.
So above 30 is much of a muchness?
Yeah, it goes from 97% blocked at 30, UV light blocked at 30 to 99% at 50. So it's a very small difference. What's important is the volume you apply, and that creates your SPF. So for the face, you need 2.5 mils of, which is about a teaspoon, of SPF to cover your face and your ears. Don't forget your ears.
And what about the quality of the brand as well?
So they're all pretty much similar, but you kind of want to look for a UV star rating of 3 or more, at least in the UK, that's the law, and then SPF 30 or above. I prefer a mineral-based sunscreen, so I always look at zinc oxide or titanium dioxide as opposed to a chemical sunscreen. So if it's not zinc or titanium, it's a chemical. And the minerals are, sunscreens are the most allergenic or cause the most allergy of anything you can come in contact with. So but mineral sunscreens don't have that potential. So mineral sunscreen all the way.
Sajid's been in touch on 4001 saying, what are your thoughts on organic versus non-organic? Does it really make much of a difference whether or not a product like sun cream is organic?
No.
Decisive.
It doesn't matter. A chemical is a chemical. So if zinc oxide would be considered organic because it's just a mineral.
Okay, so don't worry about it.
It's just marketing mumbo jumbo.
And a nice price markup as well.
Exactly.
And we were talking about some skincare, sunscare myths there. Sarah's got in touch on the app saying, I foolishly didn't put enough sun cream on at the weekend and I'm rather pink and sore even today. What is the best way to treat sunburn and how long should it take to heal?
The best treatment is prevention, but you know that, sorry.
back in time,
yeah,
Sarah.
Yeah, go back in time.
Not helpful, Dr. Natalia.
Not helpful. So there's not much, I mean, your skin is not healed. So it's just inflamed from the sun exposure. So sometimes if a patient has really bad sunburn, I give them a topical steroid. You can get one not on prescriptions. You can get 1% hydrocortisone just at any pharmacy. So you can slap that on. It won't make a huge difference. Just moisturize it with any moisturizer and just give it time. You can, if it's hot, you can cool it down with a bit of aloe vera if you put it in the fridge. But that's just like one of those standard things.
So the after sun that we often see that has the aloe vera or cucumber things, is that going to be any more effective than just a normal good moisturizer?
No, just put your normal moisturizer in the fridge. And it's the same thing. No, it doesn't. After sun, it's
smell a cucumber
yes,
at the same
exactly,
time.
Exactly. Lovely. No, it's again, that's just something else that you can buy as an addition to your sunscreen as a marketing thing. So no, there's no magic in after sun.
Okay. I love this question from Laura. She's saying, going to New York in a couple of weeks, what skincare buys should I look out for? Got my eye on some retinol and a couple of other bits, but very open to encouragement. Do you know what my favorite thing in the whole wide world is?
Oh, no.
American pharmacies.
Oh, yeah. Like CVS.
Oh.
Yeah, I love CVS,
Reed.
Too.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, I love
In
it.
Fact, any kind of overseas pharmacy or supermarket just makes me
yeah, I do
so
love
happy.
The overseas supermarkets are quite fun.
Oh, so what should Laura be buying in New York?
Yeah, so nothing. Shoes? No. Just, so in terms of skincare, I mean, I wouldn't buy a retinol. I'd just get a decent retinoid. And in Dubai, you can buy a good quality tretinoin over the counter at any pharmacy for like 14 dirham. So there's no need for you to buy a retinol because it'll be an expensive proprietary blend and you don't know what quality that retinol is. But if you buy a pharmaceutical like level or grade topical retinoid, which is pure, that's going to be much more effective for what you want to accomplish and a heck of a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. So just go to your local, pharmacy around here and just pick one up. In terms of like fancy skincare, I mean, if you want to buy things in fun packaging, just go for it, because really everything you're buying from Sephora or whatever, these things are all pretty much the same product. Sorry. They're pretty much all the same. So if you like it and you think it looks pretty on your, in your bathroom, just go for it. In terms of like efficacy, nothing is really going to do anything magical. Sorry to disappoint everyone.
That's a really boring answer.
It's really boring. I know. Everyone hates that answer. I'm just like, well, I would stock up on something basic like CeraVe because it's a lot cheaper in like CVS than it is over here. You can't even get it here. I do love CeraVe as a moisturizer. It's just a really simple, it's not expensive, it's not fancy. The packaging isn't very pretty, but it's just a good product and it's just simple and easy to use and it goes well with a prescription retinoid. And then maybe some mineral sunscreen, because they do make a great, Anthelios from La Roche-Posay makes a great mineral sunscreen that you can't get anywhere except in the USA.
There you go, Laura. Yeah. More money for shoes. Are you ready for quick fire round, Dr. Natalia?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do this.
Lots of questions to get through. Alex is saying, hi both. For the last few years, I've been getting a random allergic reaction. They came one at one, seemingly random times. I've kept a journal and photos to try and pinpoint them to lifestyle, food exposure, etc., but so far nothing. They're itchy and sometimes look like mosquito bites, lasting an hour, but sometimes longer. Appreciate I need to seek professional help, but where to start, or rather, with whom?
Well, come and see me, of course. Well, no, you definitely want to see a dermatologist. What you're describing is something called chronic idiopathic urticaria, or spontaneous chronic idiopathic urticaria, and that's a histamine problem. So you're getting these wheals that come up for no reason at all. They last for about an hour, exactly what you described. They do not leave a mark, and they're very, very itchy. You probably don't have a trigger, so I would probably put the journal away and stop worrying about it. It's just one of those things. We can definitely get it under control with a good antihistamine, not the things you buy over the counter. You need a proper one. And then just be monitored. So it will burn out on its own over about 2 to 3 years' time. But it's a chronic idiopathic urticaria.
I can give you a helping hand in the meantime.
Absolutely.
And Mariana, we were mentioning retinoids earlier, saying, could we please get more details on retinoids in pharmacies here? A name, please. I've been trying to find one since forever.
The one in my pharmacy at Zia is called, at Medicina, it's called Acretin, A-C-R-E-T-I-N. And it's the one I'd like to start patients on is 0.025%. The drug name is tretinoin, T-R-E-T-I-N-O-I-N. That's what you're looking for. The drug is tretinoin.
And as you said, it's about 15, 20 dirhams.
It's like 14 dirham. It's incredibly cheap here. It's just unreal.
Hurrah.
Yeah, seriously.
And question here, this is from Ahmed, saying, can I please ask about the dry skin growth on my lower lip? And he's attached a photo because
yes.
We love technology.
We love photos.
Using the Dubai Eye app. He says, visiting many doctors for it, and the last diagnosis was a biogenic granuloma, which must be removed surgically. But unfortunately, surgery didn't work as well. Do you have any idea what it might be? Having seen that photo, what do you think, Dr. Natalia?
So it's a little bit of a fuzzy photo. Biogenic granuloma is a differential diagnosis. And the other thing that grows on lips is a squamous cell carcinoma. So if you're a smoker, that's the one major thing I'd be concerned about. So if it hasn't gone away with a shave, because usually we treat these with shave excision and cautery, usually that's enough to get rid of a pyogenic granuloma on the lip. If it hasn't gone away, you probably need a biopsy to rule out squamous cell carcinoma of the lip. That's quite a serious type of skin cancer. So I would take this quite seriously.
Yeah. So definitely go to see a different specialist.
See a consultant dermatologist, definitely, because that's something that needs to be looked at properly.
Okay, hope that helps. Going to squeeze in as many as we can. And always a busy show, so the quicker you can get in your messages, the better. No name on this one came in 4001 saying, my son has a small wart on the inside of his middle finger. We've had it frozen a few times, but it keeps coming back. Should we keep treating it or ignore it? Thank you.
So you can ignore them and leave them because they do sell the spontaneous resolve over years because your immune system gets rid of them. But the thing is, what I see mostly is that people don't do the freezing off properly. You can't just freeze the skin. You have to par down the viral wart because the virus is sitting in the skin, not in that the keratotic stuff that's on top of it. So that I always par that down and then I do the cryo. So when I do that, usually they're gone within one or two treatments. So you probably had inadequate treatment because it was done incorrectly. So again, that's something that as a consultant dermatologist, I'm trained to do. And in the proper way. So yeah, you just need it done properly. Sorry.
Basically.
That's
fair comment. So. Question here about a 9-year-old saying, my son is 9 and is having a bad allergy from swimming pools. Every time he goes, he gets pimples on his hands, thighs and chest. I've visited many doctors and used cream before and after using the pool, but no positive results. Any advice? Vitamins? He used to go when he was a little child. When he wasn't allergic, this started 3 years ago.
So he's not allergic to swimming pools. He's getting something called Pseudomonas folliculitis or swimming pool folliculitis. So Google that, swimming pool folliculitis, and you'll see that it's due to a bacteria called Pseudomonas, which grows in water. So the correct treatment is going to be something like a topical gentamicin or a specific antibiotic for that particular bacteria, which is why it keeps coming back, because you're putting on barrier creams and so on, but you're not treating the actual problem. So this is actually really quite common in children, swimming pool folliculitis.
There you go. Have a Google. See an expert.
Have a Google.
Your brain is a very busy place, Dr. Natalia.
Yes, it keeps me up at night.
Monkey mind, big time. Currently trying to wean myself off tetracycline. Thank you. I'll be using a Retin-A as an alternative. After months, the Retin-A is definitely having an effect, but it's a slow process. Very tempted to slip back into a short course. I want to try and avoid this if possible. Could I take the antibiotics at the same time as the Retin-A?
Absolutely, and you should. And I would definitely continue taking it until you're happy that your skin has reacted well to the Retin-A. But Retin-A is the way to go, definitely.
Okay. Any tips for teenage acne, food, topical treatment? My son has had treatment for scarring by a dermatologist, which has helped. But what about future scarring? And how long do you recommend antibiotic treatments for teenagers? Many thanks.
So I wouldn't worry about food because there's no evidence for that. So you can feed him whatever you want. Broccoli is always good. And the antibiotics, as long as it's helping, you can definitely, there's no harm in taking an antibiotic for more than 6 months, 9 months, a year. because this is not a normal antibiotic. It's used for acne. So you don't have to worry about things like, I don't know, you know, things that we worry about the antibiotics. So that's fine. Definitely a good quality topical is going to be your first step. So a benzoyl peroxide combined with adapalene, which is a third generation topical retinoid, which is made for acne, would probably be your best bet at preventing future scarring.
Okay. And we talk about medication and how much that has evolved. Would you recommend Accutane as well as antibiotic? Are they doing quite similar things?
So no, Accutane and antibiotics, two very different things. They can't really be combined except in very exceptional circumstances.
Okay. And Daniel's saying, how do I stop my wife's hair from falling out? I'm not stressing it out, he puts in brackets. But ever since moving here, it seems to be from using the water.
Right. So I'm not even going to mention this water thing because that's a myth that I have not been able to find out where that's come from. So we're going to park that for a second. So hair loss in a woman is very multifactorial. So definitely I want to look at ferritin levels, thyroid function. Those are all really important. Look at her scalp. Make sure there's no scalp disease that's causing the hair fall. If everything's normal, then I really love platelet-rich plasma therapy for hair. There's actually not bad evidence to show that it does help with hair fall and create thicker hair. So PRP is not a total gimmick. It has to be done correctly, and it's also can be quite painful. So you need to find someone who can do it in a way that's not going to be super painful. But PRP would be the next step once everything else is considered normal.
Okay, hope that helps, Daniel. A message saying, my daughter is 8 and has persistent recurring eczema on her knuckles. It reacts to cortisone creams, but we want to stop the recurrence. How?
So you need to use a stronger steroid in a more kind of aggressive fashion under the guidance of a dermatologist because she's young. So I would use a stronger steroid than a cortisone and wean her off it slowly because it has to be done in a certain dosage. But this can definitely be under control. She may need patch testing.
Okay, same with eczema. Message here saying eczema around the eyes. Everything stings, skin cracks sometimes. Obviously can't use hydrocortisone. Help.
You can use hydrocortisone 1% around the eyes. You can use up to 2.5% around the eyes. That's absolutely fine. But the skin around the eyes absorbs way more steroid than anywhere else in the body. So you have to be a little more cautious. I would generally use a steroid alternative, like a topical tacrolimus, which most people have never heard of, around the eyes myself, which can also sting a bit. But I have a way of doing this to keep that stinging at bay. So it's definitely something that's manageable. But make sure the diagnosis is correct.
Okay. And the question here is, my son is regularly having sweating on his palm. What would you recommend?
Okay, so
does Botox work?
Botox does work, but I don't like to do Botox into the hand because it can, just like it does things like you use your forehead, it can do the same thing with the small muscle of the hand.
It can freeze a muscle.
Yeah, so it's not super safe on the hands. I don't do it myself, but there is a product that I can prescribe that's a topical anti-sweating cream for the hands, and there's also tablets you can take. So it really does depend on how old your child is. So if it's a young child, like if it's under 16, like a child, then I would probably suggest the topical agent, which can be really effective.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Who knew?
Definitely treatable.
Joe is asking, dear Dr. Natalia, what is the most effective treatment for age spots? Many thanks.
So age spots are solar lentigo. So they're freckles that don't go away when you're not exposed to sun. Okay, so that's a solar lentigo. So the best treatment is to come, it's a multimodality. So combining an anti-pigment agent, like a prescription like hydroquinone with a retinol. I always go back to a tretinoin. It's like the mainstay of everything. Combining those two and then getting some good targeted laser treatment, like a Q-switch ND-YAG. Like I have the Spectra laser that can do, that's FDA approved for pigmentation, so that's really effective.
And we've had this time and time again, pigmentation after pregnancy where you have that
melasma,
kind of the mask, and that can work there as well.
So you can never get rid of melasma entirely, but you can improve the appearance, yes, with a similar type of laser, this kind of laser, and a topical treatment. And there's also some really good novel treatments we have that are coming out, oral agents, which I love using because when you combine it with everything else, you get such good results. So melasma is, we're learning a lot more about it, and we have some really interesting new multimodality kind of treatments for it, which aren't very expensive, which are very effective.
Okay, hope out there. And Asma's saying, I have a never-ending itchy red rash in my scalp. Seems to be aggravated before my periods for 10 to 15 days, and it's horrible. How can you save me?
Oh, I can definitely save you. I would always prescribe a super potent steroid scalp application for this, used in a very targeted way to get this under control, combined probably with a salicylic scalp application, because you want to descale and then treat the inflammation. So this is totally treatable with the right treatments. So, but of course, the most important thing is getting your diagnosis right. So having someone who knows what they're talking about looking at your scalp and being able to say, yeah, this is what's causing it, because it's important to know the underlying cause of this kind of condition.
Okay. And a question from Natalie saying, I have a very deep, almost open blackhead. Any advice on how to get rid of it? You love an extraction,
don't
you?
I do love an extraction. It depends if it's on your face or your back. It might be a drying up pilar epidermoid cyst. So if that's the case, we can definitely fix that too. If it's just a big blackhead, then I can just
extract it.
Just take it right out.
It's fun to do.
You're weird.
Yeah.
And a question, I think the last one of the day, unfortunately. My son has a vascular pimple on his cheek. It gets irritated when it's hot. Not sure if it's a harmless birthmark or we need to have it checked out. Thank you.
Always get everything checked out just across the board if you're worried about it all. I don't know what a vascular pimple is, but I'm assuming you're referring to an angioma or an angiokeratoma or a spider vein even. You'd have to be looked at. It can be treated with a vascular laser if that's what it is or some other way. But if you're worried about a bump or lump, you should definitely get that checked out.
Dr. Natalia, where can people find you, make appointments with you and, you know, be treated by you?
You can see me at the Zia Medical Center on Jumeirah Beach Road. And you can also follow me on Instagram.
Go on.
At NMK Skin. That's my Instagram name. And you can, yeah, you can always send me a message if you don't know where to go. Yeah.
And I think what's great about you guys is there's often an insurance element as well. So many people can claim that back. I think with something like a dermatologist and other specialties, you're never really sure, like, do I need to go to a GP first and then get referred? You can just come straight to you.
You can come straight to me. And if you need insurance approval for a procedure or something, we put that through straight away. Certain indications aren't covered. Like, a lot of insurance companies don't cover acne. So if you're concerned about that, just please get into contact with your insurance company and just find out. But we're trying to get as much stuff covered by insurance as possible.
Good to know. Dr. Natalia Spearings from Zia Medical, thank you so much for
You're welcome.
Of your expertise. You can breathe now.
Yeah.
And apologies to everyone whose questions we didn't get to this afternoon. It's always a super, super busy show. And we will have, well, we'll come back, won't
you? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we'll have her back.
Yay.
Don't worry. And in the meantime, you can find her at Zia Medical on Beach Road.
Dubai Eye 103.8 presents an array of independent expert opinions and does not advise one particular view. Always seek independent legal advice which considers your own personal circumstances.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.